Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the life that you have given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. Lord, we thank you for the ability to work and the value and the meaning that we find in doing a job well. And Lord, we pray that you would instill in each of us a godly work ethic. Lord, we thank you that the gift of salvation is not by works, but it's a gift of grace. And Lord, we just pray that we would devote our lives to serving you in response to the gift that you've given. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. Give us enlightenment as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ants are pretty amazing creatures. Do you know that for every person on the earth, there are about 1 million ants? And if you were to take everyone alive and put them on a giant scale and put every person on one side and put every ant in the world on the other, that the weight would almost even out. In fact, the ants might weigh just a little bit more. That's kind of scary, isn't it? The ants are everywhere. Ants live on every continent of the planet, except for one, ironically, Antarctica. There's no ants there. It's too cold. I think they should change the name. Ants are the strongest creature, or the strongest creature in the world in relation to their size. They can carry 50 times their own weight while hanging upside down. Try that this afternoon. They even work together to move heavier objects. Ants are incredibly busy. In a square mile, they move around 50 tons of soil per year. This is just one square mile. 50 tons of dirt gets moved around. They build all kinds of amazing colonies below the surface. And if you were able to shrink yourself down to the size of an insect, like in the movies, and crawl into an anthill, that would be kind of interesting. But you would get lost in the maze of tunnels. And it would be like standing, wandering around the streets of a giant city. The largest ant colony that they've ever discovered was almost 3,000 miles wide. It's a little ant metropolis down there. It's amazing. Ants are busy. I have to admit, compared to the ant, I feel a little bit lazy. I get worn out shoveling snow, but on a daily basis, those little creatures push the equivalent of several tons of dirt. What kind of worker are you? Are you industrious like the ant? Or do you have a difficult time some mornings rolling out of bed? Have you ever called in sick because you just didn't feel like going in? Have you pretended to be busy at your desk, but you were checking Facebook or playing Pac-Man? Have you stretched that 15-minute break into a half hour or 45 minutes? Well, we all have those days when we don't feel like showing up and we're tempted to ignore our responsibilities. But lazy days, if we're not careful, can become a pattern and a habit and a way that we approach life. And when that happens, it causes problems for us and for others. In every society, there are people that just don't like to work. I'm talking about those who could if they wanted to, but they're unwilling to put forth the effort. The book of Proverbs calls that person the sluggard, or in modern terms, lazy bones. In our study so far, we've seen that Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs to train young men and women, the sons and daughters of Israel, in the ways of wisdom, and this would be an important lesson for them to learn. Sometimes young people have a difficult time making that transition from living at home to entering the real world. For years, their parents have been there to take care of them and look after their needs. They didn't have to worry about things like, what am I going to eat tonight? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to sleep? The parents provided those essentials. But a time comes when a person must take that responsibility for themselves. Life is going to be difficult for the person that doesn't learn that lesson along the way. These verses show us the value of having a good work ethic. Whether it's in the classroom or the office, the factory or the field, the hospital or the home, God's people ought to always do their best. And first of all, we should work hard in order to earn a living. Again, look with me at verses 6 through 8. Solomon gives us a picture, an example to look at. God's creatures teach us all kinds of lessons, and the ant teaches us this one. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Ants are always on the move, foraging for food. If you've had a picnic in the park, I'm sure that you've had to shoo some of those little creatures away. They didn't mean any harm. They were just trying to pick up some crumbs and carry them back to the colony. Hardwired into them is the instinct to search for food when it can be found. Cold weather is coming, and rather than waiting until tomorrow when it may not be as easy to find nourishment, they take advantage of the opportunity they have today. And that's a good lesson for us. Staying in bed all day does not put food on the table. If you don't show up for work, you're not going to bring home a paycheck. As they say, money doesn't grow on trees. And even if it did, you'd have to go out and gather it. When the alarm clock goes off Monday morning, you'd probably rather stay where it's nice and warm and just kind of pull up the covers and not roll out of bed. But you like to eat, and you enjoy having a roof over your head. And so you get up and you get going. And there's probably 100 things you'd rather be doing throughout the week than typing reports or loading a machine or answering phone calls or going to meetings. But you realize that come payday, it's going to be worthwhile. On the other hand, the lazy person doesn't think ahead. He's not preparing for tomorrow. All he can think about is right now. He's too busy having fun to go look for a job. He stayed up too late last night with his buddies to wake up and head into work. He got fired last week, but it didn't bother him. He didn't like that job anyways. Eventually, he'll get another. Meanwhile, the stack of late notices is piling up in the mailbox. Verse 9 asks us, how long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Have you ever tried to wake someone? Maybe a guy who's kind of lazy? And you've pushed, you've rolled, and what do? Leave me alone. Come on, man, we got to go to work. We're going to be late. 5 more minutes. Let me hit snooze one more time. I'm still tired. Just a little longer. Okay, I'm leaving you here, buddy. I'm going to work. I'm not making an excuse for you today. That's the response that we get. Verse 10 answers, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. In essence, the lazy person is robbing himself. The fridge is empty and the cupboards are bare because he hasn't done anything to fill them. His lack of motivation is plundering the home. There's a reward for working hard, and there's a consequence for being idle. Our kids learn that lesson. Sometimes we give them a reward for helping out around the house. If you guys pick up all your toys, if you take the dirty laundry back to the laundry room, we'll give you a package of fruit snacks. All right, fruit snacks! Woo! They love fruit snacks, so they leap into action. But often, there's at least one that's content to let the others do the heavy lifting. My feet hurt. It's too heavy. I'm too tired. And, they kind of goof off. Maybe they pretend to work really slow. There, I helped, But we watch, we know, and when it comes time, when it's all done, and it comes time to hand out fruit snacks, if they didn't work, they don't get the fruit snacks. And they don't like that. They kind of throw a fit and cry, and, oh, I want the fruit snacks. Hey, you should have thought of that a few minutes ago when there was work to be done. In the real world, there's no reward without effort. Proverbs 28, verse 19, if you want to turn the page with me, says, he who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. There's a reward for hard work, but there's a consequence for the person that doesn't want to lift a finger. Now, we should point out that not everyone who suffers hardship is there because they're lazy. A lot of people are hardworking. They work 2-3 jobs, all kinds of hours just to scrape by. Maybe they've fallen on hard times or something has happened in their life to cause that situation. But a lazy person certainly will bring hardship upon himself. We need to work hard if we're going to earn a living. We should also work hard to gain a good reputation with others. Go back to the example of the ant in our passage in Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6:7 tells us that ants have no chief, officer, or ruler. There's no supervisor in the ant world looking over the shoulders of the other worker ants, telling them what to do. Here's the project. Here's when you need to have it done. You better do it right. It just happens. It's just automatic. There isn't a foreman ant that's saying, hey, you guys are going to get fired if you don't do what you should. They just do it. I dare you this summer to go out to your backyard and look for a lazy ant. Go behind the tree where it's shady and see if you can find an ant that's laying on a recliner, sipping an iced tea, hiding while the others do their job. You're not going to find one because it's instinctive to them to be busy creatures. This is how God made them. It's part of their character. That's not the case, is it, with all animals? Solomon doesn't say, observe the house cat, right? Because we know that house cats are lazy. They don't do anything. Maybe they'll catch a mouse every once in a while, but they just lay around. Solomon doesn't say, go look at the sloth. And go check out the koala bear. Because you go to the zoo, and what are they doing? They're just laying on a tree branch. That's it. They don't do much. The kids are banging on the glass. No, kids don't do that. But come on, move around. They don't. But the ant has a reputation for hard work. And that's the kind of reputation that God's people should have in the workplace. The boss should know that you're someone who does your job, that he can trust you with an important assignment because you take your work seriously. He doesn't have to stand over your shoulders and make sure you're doing things the right way because you're dependable. And if your foreman steps out of the room, if your manager takes off for a little while, they don't have to wonder if you're going to be goofing off while no one is looking. I applied for a job once while I was a student at Grace Bible College at a business that was just down the road. And on my resume, I put, I'm a student at Grace Bible College, and, this is what I'm doing and what I've studied and what my plans are. And as I interviewed with the owner, he's like, oh, I see you're from GBC. I like hiring students from GBC. That's always worked out well. They've always been dependable and hard workers. And you know what? I got the job based on their reputation for hard work. And hopefully I didn't, do anything to tarnish that. I don't think I did because he hired some others after me. They had a reputation for working hard, which was great. As men and women who bear the name of Christ, we ought to be known as people who are faithful and trustworthy in all things. If that's not the case, then what kind of testimony are we going to have with our co-workers or with our boss? If we can't be trusted in earthly matters, why would anyone listen to what we have to say when it comes to spiritual things? Paul makes that point in the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians. He says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you've received from us. Later on, he says, for we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in a quiet fashion and to eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good. Apparently, there were some believers in that congregation who had quit their jobs. They weren't showing up at work. They thought, hey, we're living in the end times. The rapture is going to happen tomorrow. And so, hey, what's the point of going to work? You know, let's just hang out at home and, you know, maybe go up to the mountain and say, here we are, you know, we're ready. But the problem is they were causing hardship for the whole church. And they weren't sending a very good message to the rest of the community. The church didn't have a good reputation because of these guys. And so Paul rebukes them. Hey, even if Christ is going to return tomorrow, that doesn't mean we should disregard our responsibilities today. Nobody likes to work with a lazy person. If you're in Proverbs, turn with me to Proverbs 10, verse 26. Proverbs 10, verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him. How much fun is it to work with a lazy person or to hire a lazy worker? Well, if you've ever picked up a glass of vinegar thinking it was water and taken a swig, ooh, not so fun. That's what it's like. If you've ever sat around the campfire and the wind suddenly changed and blew all of the smoke into your face, that's what it's like. It's not fun. Hey, where's Bob, the high lift driver? Hey, he's probably parked somewhere in the back of the warehouse taking a nap. He's called Joe, the high lift driver. He'll be here. Hey, where's Cindy? Why isn't she answering her phone? Eh, she's not in the office yet. She's always late. Hey, Bill is behind. Why don't you take on all of his projects for him? Thanks a lot, Bill. Hiring a lazy person isn't fun. It's frustrating. Everyone else has to pick up the slack. And maybe you can think of people right now that you work with who are that kind of worker, who have that kind of reputation. Maybe you've worked with people in the past. What kind of worker are you? Are you the kind of worker that people enjoy working next to, the boss enjoys having around? That's the kind of reputation that God wants us to have. Finally, we should work hard to bring glory to God. Turn to the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. As you turn there, I want you to think about the ant again, one more time. We started out talking about how industrious and hardworking the ant is. Why does he do those things? Why does the ant tunnel into the ground? Why does the ant carry all those heavy things? Because that's what God made it to do. And when it does it, in a way, it's pointing to the Creator. It's giving glory to God. Well, God created us, and he created us to give him glory, to give him honor. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. The Apostle Paul is writing these instructions. This particular paragraph is directed towards servants who probably didn't have the most glamorous job. And I'm sure many of the people they served weren't the nicest. They might have found themselves resenting work every single day, dreading the things that they had to do. But Paul reminds these believers that even the most menial tasks can become an act of worship. Whatever you do, whether you're washing dishes or cooking a meal or planting a row of corn or standing on the assembly line or grading papers or taking a test, it doesn't matter what it is. Every pursuit in our life can be devoted to God. Do it heartily, as for the Lord, rather than men. Do your best. Give your all, knowing that God is watching. And it brings him pleasure when we carry a joyful attitude into the workplace. Many of our coworkers probably show up each day with that gloomy cloud hanging over them. Another day in this place. Can't wait to get this over with.
I hate being here. You know, maybe we've had that attitude at times. But wouldn't it change the atmosphere of that place if you show up with a smile? Hi, how you guys doing? Ready for another day? You know, think about God and how you can serve him there. Maybe your boss isn't the greatest person to work for, but that's okay. You're not serving him. You're serving God. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. You might not get much recognition in your job. There's a lot of companies today that slash benefits, you know, cut wages. They don't treat their employees the way that they used to. It's hard to do your best when your wages are cut, but you have to do twice as much. But remember, the ultimate reward will be given in the life to come. When we stand before our Master in heaven and we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Your boss might not even know your name. Your supervisor may never say, thank you, good job. But the Lord sees your labor and he will reward you. We tend to divide our lives into compartments. And we think, okay, this is the secular part of my life and this is the sacred part of my life. You know, these things God cares about, these things we think God doesn't. You know, praying and reading our Bibles and going to church, okay, we see how that's sacred. But going to work, you know, filing papers, answering phones, we think, you know, how does that connect with my spiritual life? See, that's not a biblical perspective. God doesn't divide our lives into those categories. Everything is to be sacred. Everything, every part of our lives can bring glory to the Savior. I have a friend who's a great cook, and he used to work in a restaurant years ago, and now he's a youth pastor, but he calls the kitchen in his home the sanctuary. And I'll see him on Facebook. He'll say, I'm spending time in the sanctuary preparing a meal for my family. And he just enjoys going and doing that for them. It becomes an act of worship. You know, as he's cutting the vegetables or searing the meat, you know, he's praising God. You know, Lord, thank you for making these things. Lord, thank you for sending the rain and the sun. You know, thank you for how good this is going to taste. You know, Lord, thank you for making these combination of flavors come together in such a way that it brings pleasure and enjoyment. Lord, that's you. You did that for us. And this totally transforms what he's doing. You know, some people would say, oh, cooking a meal, that's tedious work. But for him, it's a joy, and it brings him pleasure. He's doing it for God. And we can do the same. You know, think about if you called the workshop your sanctuary, or the laundry room your sanctuary, or your space, you know, in front of your machine at work, the sanctuary, your office. If you called it the sanctuary, that would change your attitude. Worship is not just singing songs of praise Sunday morning. That's part of it. But worship is what we do all through the week when we do it for the glory of God. One Christian author says, God ordained work as the normal routine of living. Every legitimate human task, therefore, is of intrinsic worth, however menial it might seem, and it is potentially a means of glorifying God. Maybe you've never thought about it that way, but I challenge you to think about whatever you do as a way to praise God. When you're swinging a hammer, do it with a joyful heart. You know, Lord, thank you for giving me these muscles and the ability to create. When you're at your desk trying to solve a problem, say, Lord, thank you for giving me a mind that can understand things and work for solutions. When you're teaching a lesson, well, just rejoice. God, thank you for giving me a voice and the ability to communicate. And it's going to change the way you see what you do. Our passage this morning encourages us to be good workers, to take pride in what we do. Don't just put forth the minimum required effort that's needed to skate by. But even when people aren't around you don't care, you should. Even if the boss isn't watching, even if there's no possibility for promotion or no possibility for a raise, do your best. Be the kind of worker who has a reputation for being reliable, who's faithful, who's always there, dependable. Remember that the way you conduct yourself at work is just as important for your witness as the words that you speak. If people can trust you in your job, then maybe they'll come to you with spiritual questions and seek your advice, and you can share the gospel. And imagine the Lord as your supervisor. Know that what you do is able to bring glory to Him, and live lives of praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for creating us the way that you did. Lord, you made us in your image. And we see that all the way back in the beginning in Genesis, Lord, you were busy at work creating the universe. And you did your job well. You did a perfect job. And Lord, we see that as an example. And you give us the capacity to work and to create and to oversee. Lord, when we do those things, when we exercise those gifts and abilities, we are pointing to you and bringing glory to your name. Lord, help us to have a good work ethic and to be people who have a good reputation at work. May that open up doors to share the gospel. Lord, we just pray that we would see every day of the week, not just Sunday, as sacred, and that we would give you praise in all we do. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.